Thanks. Nisa and I are really happy to be with you here for this missionary conference. I've been to Spanish Wells with her father once before, but it's her first time. But how many of you remember George and Betty Walker? They're Nisa's parents, and they always love to come here to Spanish Wells for any reason, any time. They love being here and love being with the saints. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I met Nisa. I lived in a little town in Florida. It was called Howie in the Hills. Has anyone ever heard of Howie in the Hills? Oh, I'm amazed. It's much smaller than Spanish Wells. When I moved to Howie in the Hills, there were 86 people. And actually, it's so small, there is a road that runs through Howie in the Hills, but it's so small it says, come again on the back of the welcome sign. And then Nisa had come there to teach at a private school, and I met her, and for me it was love at first sight. I just said, this is the girl of my dreams. I got to marry her. It was a little longer for her, but I never forget. I met her on a Friday night. I'd gone down to visit the janitor, basically, of the school where she worked. He was a friend of mine, and some of the teachers dropped in, and I met Nisa, and we got to talking. And so I asked her to go out with me the next day, and she agreed. And I was going to take her to hear a symphony orchestra, but the tickets were all sold out. But we went out Saturday night, and then I asked her, what are you doing Sunday? She says, I'm going to church. I said, where? And she told me, and I said, well, I'll go with you. It was a little assembly being started by Bob Harper. Do you know Bob and Jeanette? Maybe not. Anyway, they were starting a new assembly, and we went over there, and then Monday night we went out again. And on Tuesday night, I mean, I was so in love, you couldn't believe it. And Tuesday night, now, I've got to tell you a little about Nisa first. Here I am. I'm from a town. By that time, there were probably 200 people living in Howie in the Hills, so it was a big town then. And so I'm really a country boy. And Nisa, of course, had grown up in Cuba, born in Havana, and grown up speaking two languages. And she'd been through university, well, high school in Chicago, that's a big city, and then she'd gone to Stetson University. In her senior year, she'd gone 1 year in Spain, and she was planning to go back one more year in Madrid, University of Madrid. And I was just awestruck by all this. She was so sophisticated and everything. But anyway, Tuesday night, we went down by, I parked the car by the lake, and the moon's shining over the lake, and it just looked so beautiful. I don't know how you do courting here in Spanish Wells, and I would have known what to do if she hadn't been such, a city girl, sophisticated and all, but I really wasn't sure, so I parked the car and turned it off, and I kind of yawned, and put my arm up over the back seat. And we're looking at the moonlight on the lake, and so I turned to her, and I said, may I kiss you? She didn't say a word, just looking straight ahead. I thought maybe she didn't hear me. If she'd been a country girl, I'd known what to do. But anyway, so I said a little louder. I said, may I kiss you? Again, just looking straight ahead. No response, nothing. And I'm getting frustrated. So finally, I turned to her. I said, are you deaf? And then she turned to me and she said, are you paralyzed? Watch out for these sophisticated ladies. Anyway, about a year and a half later, we were married. And I mean, it's pretty awesome. At the time, I was a Presbyterian. I hadn't heard of the Brethren before. And then her dad, he put me straight in a hurry. And, I mean, he was crying, and his daughter's going to marry a Presbyterian and everything. But I wasn't very much Presbyterian by that time because they'd gone very, very liberal, and I'm very thrilled that I found the assemblies. And then 30 years ago, Hollywood Bible Chapel, Hollywood, Florida, commended us to Hong Kong, to the work there. And our 30 years have been divided into three parts, basically. There's overlap on all of it, but the first 5 years, first year, Nisa and I both taught in a school there in Hong Kong. We were both school teachers in the U.S. Then the next 20 years, most of our work was with Vietnamese refugees, the boat people fleeing from Vietnam. And for the last 5 years, it's been working with the local assembly in Hong Kong, which we did all along, but also doing a lot of traveling into China and into Vietnam, taking Bibles and other literature for house churches or underground churches in those places. And also, for 25 years at least, we've worked with Filipinas in Hong Kong. There's 160,000 Filipina maids in Hong Kong. Trying to see what I wrote down here. Okay. Tonight, we're going to talk mainly about the Philippines. Now, some of you ladies were out for breakfast, and some of what I tell you tonight will be similar to what Nisa told you, but I'm going to focus just on one couple that we worked with in Hong Kong. They are like our own children, literally. Danny and Elizabeth Martinez. We met Elizabeth when she first came to Hong Kong. She was only 19 years old. And the Philippines, if you go to Manila, it's very much like a modern city anywhere. But you get out in the countryside, and it's not very modern at all. And we'll have some pictures of the work they're doing there and some of the things that are going on have thrilled us so much. But before, I want to read a few verses from Nehemiah chapter 4. You all know the story of Nehemiah. He had gone back to Jerusalem. He'd gotten the king's permission. And he wanted to rebuild the walls, rebuild the temple and things. And there was some opposition. There was a man named Sanballat and another one named Tobiah, and they'd been pretty big, important men around that area before Nehemiah came back, and they didn't like what he was doing. They didn't want to see Jerusalem rebuilt or anything. So chapter 4, and I'm going to read 9 verses. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble burnt as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over to plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Now, Danny and Elizabeth, as I told you, they're Filipinos. They did work in Hong Kong. Tonight, Danny's going to tell the story, but since he's not here, I'm going to read it, but I will interrupt at times to interject some things. But I will tell you, Danny doesn't mention it much, but they went back to the village, actually, where Elizabeth had grown up. The village name is Mossy Pea. Now, Danny and Elizabeth right now don't live in Mossy Pea. They live in a town. I would guess the town has 4,000 or 5,000 people. And they have a little house in town. But they go out to Mossy Pea almost every day. Danny does a little farming. He grows some rice and some corn, and they can just about feed themselves. But they're working with a new assembly there, and they have had all kinds of opposition, just as Nehemiah had. That's why I read these verses. Things haven't changed much in the last 2,500 years. You're doing the work for God, Satan is going to attack. And that's what's happening. Now, I had a little trouble getting this set up, but I believe we've got it now. And the mistake was not the computers. It was my mistake. I'm kind of new at this. But if you'll bear with me, I think you'll get an idea of what's going on there. Now, I noticed you have some missions magazines in the back. There's been one or two articles about this same thing this year in Missions Magazine. So if you go back to February and May, I think it was, you can see some of the same thing. So if we can lower the lights, we'll try to get... No, I'm going to sit because I've got a microphone. I hope most of you can see that. As I told you, we're going to tell you about some of our spiritual children. This is Danny's story. My name is Danilo Martinez, but most people just call me Danny. I would like to share with you some of the things that the Lord has done in my life in recent years. My wife, Elizabeth, and I were saved and married in a fundamental Baptist church, and we thank God that His plan of salvation was made clear to us. Our spiritual growth, however, was slow, partly because we both have a limited understanding of English, yet we were taught that we should only use the King James English Bible. We were told this was the only true Bible. We were told not to read God's Word in any of the translations in Filipino languages. If there was anything which we could not understand, we were told, just ask the pastor. Now, Elizabeth had obtained employment in Hong Kong before we were married and had known Sheldon and Nisa Crutchfield for several years. After we were married, I also obtained employment in Hong Kong. Elizabeth and I continued worshiping at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Hong Kong, but often visited the Crutchfields in their home. I remember that Sheldon gave me a bilingual Bible with the King James Version on one side and Tagalog, the most common dialect in the Philippines, on the other side. As Elizabeth and I read God's Word together in a language we could understand, we were thrilled. The Bible came alive for us. I'll interject here. I remember it was a week or two after we'd given them that Bible, and Elizabeth came in to see us one day. Danny was working, but she came over, and she was just bubbling over, so happy. And I said, Elizabeth, why are you so excited? She said, oh, it's reading the Bible with Danny. And I said, well, you and Danny have been reading the Bible for the last 7 or 8 years since you've been married. She said, oh, yes, we read the Bible every day, but now we know what it says. So... Back to Danny. Sheldon and Nisa never put pressure on us to leave our church, But they did explain to us when we asked questions why their church had differences from ours, and they showed us in God's Word the reason for these differences. As we began to understand God's Word better, we became more and more uncomfortable in our church and finally came into fellowship in the Photon English-speaking assembly where Sheldon and Nisa were in fellowship. I'll just tell you one more thing about their church. The one in the Philippines particularly, the pastor, probably half his sermons are about tithing or giving more. And he visited Hong Kong one time. I met him, and he was passing out a little book. He hadn't written it himself, but the title of the book was How to Get More Money from God. And I told him I didn't think that was appropriate. I probably wasn't very gracious as I said it, but anyway, they came into the fellowship, the English-speaking assembly, and he says, we conducted Sunday school classes for Filipino ladies, often using Emmaus Bible school courses, which were translated into Tagalog. We saw several ladies saved and discipled in the faith. The Great Commission, all of you familiar with it, I won't read it, Danny goes on. In 2003, the Lord had laid it on my heart that we should return to the Philippines and witness to the many unsaved there. The Great Commission of Matthew 28 was much on my mind. Elizabeth did not share this vision with me in the beginning. The Lord had blessed us with two children, Grace Joy, who is now 7 years old, and Daniel, who is now 3. In Hong Kong, life was not easy, but our income was considerably more than it would be in the Philippines. And although we did own a small home in the Philippines, right next door to the church where we'd been married and where we'd been saved, we did not have any furniture or any appliances in the house. The Lord resolved the dilemma of whether to return to the Philippines for us, because my employer was leaving Hong Kong, returning to the UK, and it would be extremely difficult to find another employer who would provide living space for a couple with two children. I want to tell you, the living space they had in Hong Kong was 7 feet by 7 feet for themselves and their two children. Also, Elizabeth, after struggling with the Lord for some time, she became convinced that we should return. Then, shortly before we had to leave Hong Kong, the Lord miraculously provided for us a house full of lovely furniture and kitchen appliances as well. I have to tell you, in the Philippines, someone sees you have nice furniture or something, the nicest compliment they can say about your house is that it looks like a hotel. And people have told them that. Now, Elizabeth returned with the children to the Philippines a few weeks before I did. That was because of the difference in contract ending. It was apparent almost immediately that we could not return to the fellowship of the church we had attended before. Elizabeth began going to the village of Masipi, where she had grown up and where her parents and some brothers and sisters still live. She went house to house, witnessing and seeing some come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the time I arrived in the Philippines, 2 months later, there was a small nucleus of new believers. Now, Masipi has no church except a Catholic church with just an itinerant priest who comes at most twice a month. In September of 2003, Elizabeth and I embarked on a daring spiritual venture when the group of new believers began meeting together under a blue tarpaulin outside the home of Elizabeth's brother, Medito. In the village of Masipi, none of the homes have running water and very few have electricity. Most houses consist of a very basic sleeping area for the whole family and a separate area for cooking. The people of Masipi are farmers. They plant rice and corn. Many have chickens and pigs, and a few have some carabao or water buffalo. But even in their simple lifestyle, the people of Masipi have the same kinds of problems that people in more sophisticated places have. During the 16 years I lived in Hong Kong, which is worlds removed from primitive Masipi, I experienced many emotional and physical hurts that drove me to God's Word, and as a result, Elizabeth and I were better prepared to deal with the human tragedies we were going to encounter in Masipi. I want to tell you one thing about speaking in the Masipi Christian Church. That's what they've named it. It's a little bit different being outdoors, and there's chickens and ducks and pigs and dogs and other things wandering through right where you're preaching. So it's much more comfortable here in Spanish Wells. Oh, wrong way again, sorry. Danny says, I would like to share two verses with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Danny continues, once while we were visiting a home, we saw there was a young lady of 22 who was mentally retarded. She has the mentality of about a 10-year-old. Her name is Jenilyn. Jenilyn had been raped by some men in the village and was 3 months pregnant. Jenilyn was cowering under a table like a frightened dog and was treated more like a pet animal than like a person. It appeared that she had not bathed or washed her hair for months. Elizabeth and I took her to our home in town, cleaned her up, and took her to a doctor for a checkup. Jenilyn lived with us for the next 6 months. Now, people in the village could not understand, why would we take in a retarded girl? And we also took her to the doctor for regular checkups, ultrasound, all the normal things. And one time the doctor said to us, because we had told the doctor we would like to adopt the baby when it was born, and Jenilyn had agreed to this, thought it would be a good idea. And the doctor said, well, you know, the mother's retarded, and we have no guarantee the baby might be retarded also. Danny and Elizabeth said to the doctor, said, doctor, God is making this child, and if it's born with one eye or one arm, we're still going to take it and love it just like any other child. And the doctor says, well, what kind of religion are you? He'd never heard of such a thing. And as I say, people in the village thought it was most unusual that they would care for a retarded person whom most people would just make fun of. Now, Jenilyn had been pregnant once before under similar circumstances and had had an abortion that time. But to make a long story short, Danny and Elizabeth are now the proud parents of Baby Blessing. Now, back to the work. Oh, I have to show one more picture. Baby Blessing with her grandma. Grandma Nisa. Now, after the word got back to the church in town about so many coming to the Lord, we were approached by the pastor's wife. Her husband was traveling in the U.S. at the time. She told us she had spoken with her husband about the people being saved in Masipi, and he had instructed her to ask us to name the new church a Baptist church branch of the one in town. Her husband would appoint me the pastor, and we would be under the supervision of her husband. When I refused this, the offer was then made to Medito, my brother-in-law, to appoint him the pastor. When this was also refused, we were told that we could not start a church in a village since the people had little or no money and could not support us, similar to Tobiah and Sanballat. I remember, and they also pointed out, I had no Bible school training and I had not been ordained. How could we start a church? But I remembered the answer that Sheldon had given so many times when I asked him a question. He would always reply, "What does the Bible say?" I had learned well that we must depend solely on God's Word. In October 2003, Sheldon came to visit us in Massapequa and assisted me in baptizing more than 20 believers in the nearby river. The river is actually in an area where the communist rebels are active, and some people warned us that this was not really safe. God protected us, and all went well. We had another baptism. I'm going to interrupt Danny here. We had another baptism in May of this year, another 15 or 17, and that day we had to move two water buffalo out of the water hole before we could get in to baptize. So it is a little different here. Now, during the baptism, many of the believers and their children were watching from the shore of the river. Afterwards, the newly baptized all wanted their picture taken, and they had a picnic lunch down by the river, and then to return home, many rode on this jeepney. I think there were 45 people on that one vehicle, in and on it. It's amazing to me. Back to Danny. With the blessings of God and seeing some saved almost every week, it was not long before we felt strong opposition from Satan. Someone dropped a dead cat into the well of the home of Medito, where we have the meetings. Nobody in Massapequa has running water. You have either a well where you drop the bucket in or a hand pump to pump the water. So a dead cat is not a very nice thing. One of Medita's water buffalo was stolen as well, and some of the new Christians have had part of their rice crop stolen after the harvest. All of these things were almost unheard of in Massapequa in the past. Still, most of the Christians are standing firm for the Lord. Also, with an increase in numbers, it became evident that we would need to have a more permanent meeting place. One believer has given a piece of land on which we can build. We are praying that the Lord will supply what is needed so that this project can go ahead. I interrupt again, the future home of the Massapequa Christian Church. They have leveled it now. Danny and Elizabeth sent me some pictures of it. I would have thought you would get caterpillar bulldozer or something, scrape it to level it. But they used 10 or 12 water buffalo with plows to do it. They've also built a retaining wall on one side, so when they have storms like hurricanes, the soil won't wash away. And the people have just worked so hard on this, it's thrilling the way the Christians. It says, this lot has been leveled by some brothers in the assembly and a retaining wall put up so that during rainstorms, soil won't wash away. In December of 2003, Sheldon and Nisa came to Massapequa. Sheldon gave some teaching on the assembly, and Nisa taught the women and girls about the Christian home. We are thankful that they can come and teach here things which they taught us in Hong Kong. Also in December, they helped us to buy a used four-door pickup truck. Little Daniel is the little boy in the picture. He's 3 years old. This has enabled us to travel to and from Massapequa more easily. We use it to bring many children to the Sunday school and also bring some to worship the Lord from other nearby villages. The Massapequa Christian Church now has a little over 100 adults and 50 to 60 children every Sunday in Sunday school. Also, while Sheldon and Nisa were here in December, They encouraged me to attend a 9-week Bible school conducted by David Harvey and David Johnson, Assembly missionaries from New Zealand and the U.S. I was wondering who would look after my rice crop and who could step in and teach in the assembly while I was gone. The Lord provided in both areas, and I did attend the Bible school. This was a great blessing as I came to understand and appreciate the Lord's Supper more than ever before. I want to interrupt Danny once more and say, I called Elizabeth while Danny was in Bible school, and she told me how excited he was, and he said, the thing that impressed him the most, he said, you know, the missionaries and the Filipino brothers who were teaching there, they didn't put themselves way up high and we're just the lowly students. We just all work together as brothers. And that so impressed Danny. Now, each week, we conduct Bible studies in two nearby villages, and we've seen several saved as a result of these outreaches. Often, older ones come and observe the children's meetings, and several adults have been saved while hearing the gospel presented to children. The house behind these two elderly ladies is a typical house in that area of the Philippines, although some of them do have concrete block. Elizabeth and I have been amazed at how the Lord has provided, not only for our needs, but for those of the Massapequa Christian Church as well. We saw how Sheldon and Nisa lived by faith in Hong Kong, and God always provided for them. This made it easier for us to step out in faith, trusting the Lord to supply all that we need. Now that you have heard my story, would you join me in praying for us this prayer of Moses, whom the Scripture calls the man of God? I don't have that. I'll read it to you. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now, I'm going to give a P.S. to Danny's talk. While we've been thrilled to see the rich harvest of souls brought to the Savior by Danny and Elizabeth's faithful witness, we have also experienced with them the pain and anguish of the various attacks leveled against them by the enemy. One of the attacks was some of the people in the church they'd attended before said, because I told them to read the Bible in their own language, actually they're using Tagalog and Ilocano, two different dialects in that area, so they have Bibles and songbooks in both languages, and because of this, they said Sheldon's leading a cult. Well, I do feel they should have God's word in their own language. In addition to the bitter persecution they have experienced from other Christians and non-Christians alike, recently they have experienced painful trials that have affected them personally. Like Job's physical afflictions, Danny's family has experienced serious physical problems. 3-year-old Daniel was diagnosed with TB a few months ago. They began the course of treatment but stopped when they ran out of money. The TB has returned stronger than before. Then 3 weeks ago, now it's a little more than 3 weeks, it's about 5 weeks, their sister-in-law Norma, in whose home the church meets, was diagnosed with advanced breast cancer. Norma is only 38 years old. Norma has 7 children. She had an operation about 2 weeks ago. They're still waiting for the biopsy. They removed some of the glands under the arm. Now, even though the cancer is advanced and fast growing, we would ask you to pray that God will intervene and bring about complete healing. Surgery was delayed because this family has almost no cash income. But praise the Lord, a believer in South Florida gave a generous gift 2 weeks ago, and the surgery was already done. Please pray for Norma. Okay, if we could have the lights on. Oh, not out of time yet. Good. I'll try to get out of the way of Norma. There was something else in my mind I wanted to say, and I'm sure my wife will remind me. But hold on. Oh, that's it. Yes, yes. Okay. She reads my mind. I thought of it a second ago, and then I get up. I'm a little nervous after hearing my in-laws talk about Spanish Wells all these years, and then to follow John Clunas, you know, it's you get all the greats here. Anyway, when I was at Bible Truth Chapel 3 weeks ago, I guess, approximately, I told them about Norma. That's where the brother gave a gift to help with the operation. And I asked them, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. If you would send her some sort of a get well card, not everybody, but some of you anyway. I don't ask for a lot of things. It'll cost probably $1 to mail it. She got 3 cards last week. It took nearly 2.5 weeks for the cards to get there. I talked to Elizabeth. She said Norma was so thrilled with those cards. Now, Norma's parents are not believers, and she did go back to her parents' home, which is in a town. It's a little better than Mossy Peak. And her parents said, people you've never met sent you get well cards? They must be real Christians. And some others of the neighbors said, well, we want to go to your church if people act like that. It would mean a great deal to Norma and her family, and it's a great witness. Now, I never thought of a get well card as being so special. Last night, Tuesday night, I mentioned this to John Clunas. Now, he told you about his sister who had died of cancer. I mentioned this lady getting these cards, and they meant so much to her. And it was a great witness. John told me when his sister had cancer, he said, here was a lady, and I never knew anything about her. She had more money than she could ever spend. And people from the assembly where he was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, sent cards to her. And he said she clutched them to her chest. They were so precious to her, more than anything else she had. And he said he had never realized what it could mean for someone you don't even know to send you a card saying, I'm praying for you. May God be with you. Just a simple little thing. And it's a witnessing tool there. So I'm going to ask, I don't have their address with me tonight. It's in the computer somewhere, and I'm not going to try to find it right now. But in the next day or two, if you want it, we'll give you a slip with an address. And if you want to, send some sort of a card to Norma saying, we're praying for you, we heard about you, and it would mean a great deal to her, and I'm sure her 7 children and her husband as well. And they use it as a witnessing tool. I wanted to tell you one more thing that happened, because I do have a few minutes. Shortly after Danny came back from the Bible school, and this Bible school is, as I said, it's 9 weeks, but it's very intense. In the Philippines, some seminaries, Methodist, Baptist, different seminaries, if you've gone 9 weeks to the Brethren Bible School, they'll give you 1 year seminary credit when you go to their seminary. So it's not just a 9-week holiday camp. They're doing a lot of work, a lot of in-depth, and it's a 4-year course, and Danny's planning to go back also, try to complete the 4-year course. The great thing for him was, it's all in his language. We worked with him in Hong Kong, and he learned a lot. But because his English was poor and I don't speak Tagalog, he didn't grow as much as he would have otherwise. But it's really great. Lost my train of thought again. Anyway, someone of you would like to send a card to Norma, it would mean a great deal to her and the others there. The people in Masipi, they have almost a non-cash economy. They have some money, but mostly, I mean, even on Sunday, someone wants to bring an offering. It may be a bag of rice, or it may be a couple of chickens or something. I know what it is. My daughter and her husband in Wheaton, Illinois, they go to the Wheaton Chapel called Bethany Bible Chapel in Wheaton. One student from Wheaton, a young man, 19 years old, this past summer, he spent money he'd saved for his second year at Wheaton to go to the Philippines. He spent 6 weeks there in Masipi. He's a music major. He taught Elizabeth's sister to play a keyboard. We sent a keyboard, a Casio electric keyboard, over from Hong Kong. He taught Edna to play that. He taught some of the young men how to play a guitar. He got the choir organized and helped Edna how to direct it. Not real professional like we had here tonight, and that was lovely, really. I so appreciated that, and I hope you do it every night. But this young man wrote us after he came back. He said, I'd never seen anything like that. People don't have any TV. They don't have any running water. Most didn't have electricity in their house. Mandito's house has one light bulb. But he said, those are some of the richest people I ever met in my life. He said, they're just overflowing with the joy of the Lord. In that church, over 100, 95 haven't known the Lord for a year yet. 5 or 6, Mandito and his wife known the Lord 20 years, Danny and Elizabeth about 20 years, maybe 1 or 2 others, but all new Christians. And he came back and he said, those are some of the richest people I ever saw in my life because of what they have in the Lord. So when you think of it, please pray, not just for Norma, the Christians in Masipi, and we're very excited because of all the time, effort we poured into Danny and Elizabeth's lives and seeing fruit from it now. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich for our sakes, became poor so that we might be made rich in you. We thank you, Lord, that you drew us to yourself. You made the gospel clear to us through others, and we thank you for the privilege we have to tell others now. I want to pray for the Christians in Masipi and thank you for the way they have a vision to reach out to the villages around them. Just bless them. Pray for Norma to heal from the surgery and if possible heal her, but she has said she knows when she goes to be with you, it will be your time, and she's ready. Lord, I thank you for the Christians here in Spanish Wells and the interest they have in your work in so many lands. Thank you for their generosity and their prayer support, and we ask you to continue to bless here and bring revival here. We know there are unsaved here in Spanish Wells and the next island, and we pray that many of those in coming days will come to know you as Savior as well. Not to increase numbers in the church so much, but so that they won't spend eternity in hell. We thank you for the food that's been provided and for those who have prepared it. Lord, just bless our time of fellowship together as your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.